Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, a healing scripture CD, books, and more. Wasn't that beautiful? That was by Danny Aloney, and it's called Una Noche, and it's available on YouTube. But today we are going to talk about Messiah 2030. Hopefully many, I'm sure, or probably most of you, may have seen this video that has come out about a month ago. The author of the video is remaining anonymous, and if you haven't seen it, it is still available on YouTube as of today. And again, it is called Messiah 2030. And this video I highly, highly recommend. It is a confirmation of many of the things that we have been sharing over the past, 3 or 4 years actually, regarding the timeline of Revelation leading up to and including the final 7 years of this age, the 7-year tribulation leading to the millennial kingdom of Yeshua Messiah. And as the title suggests, Messiah 2030 is suggesting that Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, will be coming back possibly in the year 2030. And if you've watched any of our programs or listened to any of our podcasts, we have put together a Revelation timeline based upon Psalm 90, the 80 years, if due to strength, 80 years from the time that Israel became a recognized nation by the United Nations in 1949, add the 80-year generation of Psalm 90, and you come to 2029, and that is the basis of how we laid out our Revelation timeline based on putting Revelation and the events and the trumps of Revelation in context and in order, and then placing them on a 7-year timeline with each trump being a trump of Yom Kippur, 7 trumps, 7 years, and the final trump on Yom Kippur 2029. So if you have not seen this timeline that you can see here on the video, or if you're listening to the podcast, you can go to our website, again, www.hiswordheals.com, and you can download a PDF of this Revelation timeline. We've also included on our Revelation timeline the signs in the heavens with the corresponding years, and it's quite interesting when you lay the timeline out, again, ending on Yom Kippur in 2029, and then you insert the signs in the heavens, such as the total solar eclipse, the second great American total solar eclipse going over the United States, crossing the path of totality of the 2017 total solar eclipse. That would be 2017, Elul 1, and Nisan 1, 2024. They make an X, or actually a Paleo-Hebrew Tav, with the X marks the spot, the intersection of the two paths of totality, over the southern tip of Illinois, which has historically, since the 1800s, been known as Little Egypt. Then we also, this October, on the first day of Heshvan, there is a Ring of Fire annular total solar eclipse. It's total except for you can see a ring of fire around the outside of the moon, which covers the sun, and that's called a Ring of Fire solar eclipse. And it also goes over much of the United States, starting where the 2017 solar eclipse started up by Salem, Oregon, and going southeast down toward Texas. When you put all three of these paths of totality solar eclipses together, you can see on the video here that they form an Aleph as well. So we have an Aleph Tav, or the sign of the coming of the Son of Man, who said he is the Aleph and the Tav, being formed over the United States. The Tav is the final letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the Tav is making an X marks the spot over Little Egypt. Then you put these eclipses and the total lunar eclipses that are coming up onto our timeline, and then look at the corresponding years of what may be happening according to Revelation, and it seems to correspond with the signs in the heavens. We've got 2 Purim blood moons in a row, right here on 3/14/2025, And right here on 3-3-2026, two blood moons on Purim in a row. And that would be the third year ending in the third trump on Yom Kippur 2025, and the fourth year ending with the fourth trump in Yom Kippur 2026. So the first Purim blood moon, what we have on the Revelation time chart is Revelation 12, 9 through 13, Satan is thrown out of heaven and persecutes the woman. That goes along with Purim. And the witnesses start witnessing somewhere in here. And then in 2026, the second Purim blood moon, Satan makes war with the remnant, Revelation 12, 17, and the abomination of desolation, and the woman flees to the wilderness, 1260 days, power given to the anti-messiah for 42 months to overcome the set-apart ones. That would be when the second blood moon shows up on Purim 2026. Then again, we have this ring of fire eclipse on October 14th of this year, 2023. And this would be year one, ending in the first trump on Yom Kippur 2023, which is just before this total eclipse, this ring of fire annular eclipse that goes over the United States, forming the Aleph of the Aleph and the Tav. In this year, Daniel 9:27, covenant confirmed for 7 years with the many. And as I've said in past programs recently, that could possibly be the covenant that King Charles made when he was crowned king. He had many pagan religions there, as well as many forms of Christianity there and Jews there, that he was making a covenant with to be their king. And that was on the second Passover this year, 2023. So that possibly could be the covenant confirmed with the many by the prince for 7 years. Then next year, April 8th, 2024, which is the first of Nisan, we've got the second total solar eclipse 7 years later after the first one of 2017, which was on Elul 1. So the first one back in 2017 was Elul 1, the first day of the 40 days of repentance. This annular eclipse over the U.S., the Ring of Fire eclipse, is actually the first day of Cheshvan, which Cheshvan is the month of the flood, when the flood started and when the flood waters receded. That was both in Cheshvan, and so that would represent judgment. So we've got repentance in the first one, judgment the second one, and then the third one, Nisan 1, 2024, is of course the first day of the month of Passover. And so the third one is representative of salvation, those who will be saved out of the judgment that is coming on what I believe is Greater Babylon, the United States, Little Egypt, to free his people. Then during the year of 2024, according to the Revelation time chart, as laid out with it ending again in 2029, on Yom Kippur, we've got the second trump sounds, Yom Kippur 2024, at the end of the second year. This is the year that Babylon falls. Come out of her, my people. We see that in Jeremiah and Revelation. And a third of the sea is destroyed. So certainly come out of her, my people, and Babylon falling certainly goes along with the Aleph and the Tav being the end, forming an X over Little Egypt, and possibly the fall of the United States, which is the physical headquarters of Babylon at this time. And I believe, again, it is just one of the seven heads, the one that gets a deadly wound, and then it is healed, and the center of power moves back to Europe. In my opinion, I believe this is a great possibility. The seven heads of the seven-headed beast of Revelation would be the G7, which, of course, the United States and Great Britain are heads of the G7. And so one of those heads is going to be mortally wounded, and I believe that's when Babylon falls, physical Babylon. And we've done past programs that describe why we believe that physical headquarters of Babylon is the United States, and it is the head that will fall, but then the beast will come back stronger when the headquarters moves to Europe. So that is a very brief and condensed version of an overview of our Revelation timeline. So please go to our website, download that, and take a closer look at it. We also have other programs that go into a little bit more detail about that, but it's pretty self-explanatory. So now I'm going to show some very relevant, interesting parts of Messiah 2030, especially regarding the number 40 in Scripture, possibly pointing to 40 Jubilees or 2,000 years. And then I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 8 to the 2300 mornings and evenings and show you what I found today, which is really interesting that there's a period of 300 and there's a period of 2,000 years, and the 2,000 again plays in with the 40 Jubilees, but then there's 300 years before that, and I'm going to show you what happened 2,300 years ago that definitely could be the start of the 2300 year time period. And there's also, I believe, a 2300 day time period at the end. And you can see that 2300 days on our time chart. But there's also a 2300 year time period that points to 2029 being when the temple is finally cleansed in preparation for Yeshua Messiah's return. But first, let's play the part of Messiah 2030 with regard to the number 40 equaling 40 Jubilees. 40 times 50 years being 2,000 years, and 2,000 years being the same as 2 days.
Day 7, Biblical year 6,000 to Biblical year 7,000. The Sabbath prophecy. We are now left with the last day of the prophetic creation account. On day 7 of creation, God did not create, but instead he rested. The 7th day of the week is the Sabbath day, or Shabbat in Hebrew. According to Hebrews chapter 4, we are still waiting for this prophetic fulfillment. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 8, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." The author of Hebrews also had the Sabbath prophecy in mind when he taught that the 7th day of the week pictures the millennial rule of our Messiah. This day as 1,000 years will occur after Christ's intervention and will, not surprisingly, last 1,000 years. Just as each prophetic day should according to Genesis chapter 1, Psalm chapter 90 verse 4, and 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 through 10. This 1,000-year period is also referred to as the Day of the Lord in biblical prophecy, and if you recall, was also the context of 2 Peter chapter 3, when Peter uses the one day as 1,000 years principle. This day is also 1,000 years in length. This is precisely why the prophets declare so many messianic prophetic events to occur on the Day of the Lord. It is not because it's a literal 24-hour period, but a period of 1,000 years in which begins and ends with judgment and resurrections. The beginning of the 7,000th year is when our Messiah comes to gather us and take us to the Promised Land. We will reign and rest with him for 1,000 years as the prophetic fulfillment of the 7th-day Sabbath. Because of this, the Messiah referred to himself as Lord over the Sabbath. The 1,000-year reign of our Messiah is the future fulfillment of the 7th day of creation, our Sabbath rest. The creation prophecy details the 7,000-year complete plan of God for man, revealing the end from the beginning and all that will be accomplished. Our Messiah arrived at the very end of the 4th day. His death, burial, and resurrection was during the first Passover and first fruits of the 5th day. The timeline we established using the creation prophecy will be further solidified by additional prophecy and patterns that will be presented shortly. For example, note how there is exactly 2,000 years or 2 days between the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah and the second coming on the 3rd day. The Hosea prophecy. Hosea tells us without any lack of clarity when we can expect our resurrection. We can expect to be resurrected after 2 days. The one day is 1,000 years principle was a concept familiar to Hosea. Hosea's prophecy is incomprehensible without it. Hosea chapter 6 verse 2, "After 2 days, he will revive us. On the 3rd day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him." After 2 days, or 2,000 years, we have a resurrection to look forward to. The Jubilee principle. At this time, it is necessary to reveal the Jubilee principle. Just like the day is 1,000 years principle revealed a prophetic unit count, so does the biblical Jubilee as a unit of 50. The prophetic Jubilee as units of 50 are hidden numerous times in the scriptures. As an example, John chapter 2 verse 20. "The Jews then said, It has taken 46 years to build this temple. And will you raise it up in 3 days? 46 years? It doesn't sound important on the surface, but that detail was provided for an important reason. It properly illustrates the Jubilee as an interpretive prophetic timing unit. When we multiply 46 years times a Jubilee unit of 50, we arrive to 2300. 2300 is an important number in the book of Daniel, specific to the matters of the future temple restoration. Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. And he said to me, "For 2300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary shall be restored to its rightful state." Well, it's not direct fulfillment. The connection of 2300 is not an accident. The restoration of the temple context is similar. This demonstrated the utility of the Jubilee principle. It unlocks prophetic timing. A lot of prophetic timing. The Genesis 6 prophecy. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in, contend with, man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. While the ESV states abide in, many lexicons provide contend with as an alternate, if not a more likely translation. God states that he will not contend with man forever, but only 120 years. Contend means to struggle in opposition. God has certainly been contending with man for more than 120 years. The scriptures are filled with man contending with or opposing God repeatedly and cyclically. Man is still contending with God. God did not stop contending with man at the flood, but we do see that God put an expiration on contending with man. The days of our flesh are said to be just 120 years, but we are flesh and blood until the resurrection. And the resurrection was not just 120 years after Genesis chapter 6. However, if we look at 120 years through the prophetic lens as Jubilee units, using the Jubilee principle, we arrive to 6,000 years. There are 6,000 years in which God will contend with the flesh of man for his people. But at the end of the 6,000 years, that ends. At the end of the 6,000 years, we shed this flesh via the resurrection at the return of the Messiah. There will be 6,000 years, or 6 days, in which we struggle with sin and the flesh. However, on the seventh, we are delivered or saved, and evil will touch us no longer. Job chapter 5, verse 19. He will deliver you from 6 troubles. In 7, no evil shall touch you. There are 6 days of man, and on the 7th day, the Messiah will reign as king on earth for the last day. 1,000 years. The death of Moses prophecy. Moses was 120 years of age when he died. Using the prophetic Jubilee principle, we find that the death of Moses represents the end of 6,000 years, 120 times 50. How does that connect to the timing of the second coming of the Messiah? What happened just after Moses died? Joshua led God's people into the Promised Land. What is the Messiah supposed to do when he returns? One of the things he's supposed to do is lead us into the Promised Land. Interestingly enough, Joshua and our Messiah also share the exact same names in Hebrew. The death of Moses at 120 years represents the conclusion of the 6,000-year period of man. Just as Joshua brought God's people into the land by crossing the Jordan, the Messiah will likewise do the same in biblical year 6,000. The Exodus prophecy. The Messiah is the prophet likened unto Moses. There are numerous parallels between Moses as a type of the Messiah. However, we're only going to touch on what's necessary for the purpose of the Exodus prophecy. We'll be using the Jubilee principle as the prophetic timing key for the Exodus prophecy. Moses was 80 years old at the first documented Passover and delivered God's people from Egypt. 80 times 50, a Jubilee, is exactly 4,000. Thus, 4,000 is the exact biblical year that the Messiah had to die on Passover. And he did exactly that. The Messiah died on Passover and was resurrected on first fruits in biblical year 4,000, day 5, and consequently delivered us, or freed us from sin. We will detail later how biblical year 4,000 is the same as 30 CE on the Gregorian calendar. God's people then wandered the wilderness for 40 years. 40 times 50 is 2,000. God's people have metaphorically wandered in the wilderness for nearly 2,000 years, or 2 days. Moses was 120 years old when he died. 120 times 50 is exactly 6,000. Just as biblical year 4,000 was the year the Messiah fulfilled the first part of his prophetic role, biblical year 6,000 is the year the Messiah fulfills his role as King David on earth and brings us into the land. For almost 2,000 years, we have been in this situation, wandering in the desert, waiting to enter the promised land at the Messiah's return.
With all of this in mind, let's look quickly at Daniel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14 for yet another confirmation of this timeline. Keep in mind that Daniel chapter 8 is Daniel's vision of the goat with the notable horn that attacks the ram with two horns and breaks both horns. Therefore, the male goat grew great. This male goat is understood to be Alexander the Great, and the two-horned ram was Media and Persia, which Alexander the Great of Greece defeated. You'll see why that's very important to the prophecy of the 2300 days of desolation before restoration and cleansing of the end, and is also part of the vision and explanation of Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapters 8 through 10 are pretty incredible once this timeline code has been broken, and we're going to do a program completely about Daniel chapters 8 through 10 next week. However, for now, we are focused on Daniel 8 verses 13 and 14 only with regard to the 2300 days or 2300 time period. Daniel 8, 13 and 14. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, "How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" So he's asking, how long is the desolation going to take place? Verse 14, and he said to me, for 2,300 days, or mornings and evenings, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. So as we've seen, days can be thousands of years, days can be just time periods, and days can be days, mornings and evenings. So we have a period of 2,300, and then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. So the 2,300 is a time of desolation when the sanctuary and the host will be trampled underfoot. With these verses in mind, you can see on our Revelation timeline again that we have the cleansing of the priests, Levites, and temple beginning on Nisan 1, 2030, and that goes right down here to this blue arrow. Just as the cleansing of the priests, Levites, and temple began on Nisan 1 before Hezekiah invited both the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel to Jerusalem to celebrate the second Passover in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 17. Then we back up along this blue arrow 2,300 days to Tevet 5 and 6. Tevet is the 10th biblical month, and Tevet 5 and 6, 2023, fall on December 16th and 17th. This would be the beginning of the final desolation spoken of in Daniel. Tevet 5 just so happens to be when Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 21 through 29, prophesies of the desolation of Jerusalem and the land of Israel. I'm sorry, we're all out of time, but please go to our website to watch the entire video, www.hiswordheals.com. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.